Hello, hello, hello. Here's Marlenka again with another episode. Today, as promised initially, I'm going to read from another author, and this will be from Dr. Tara Brach, who is an internationally known meditation teacher and best-selling author of Radical Acceptance, True Refuge, and Radical Compassion. And each month, more than 3 million people tune into her podcast, which addresses the value of meditation in relieving emotional suffering and serving spiritual awakening and societal transformation. Here will be a few excerpts from her book, Trusting the Goal, Learning to Nurture Your Inner Light. The gold of our true nature can never be tarnished, no matter how it might get covered over or disguised by feelings of anger, deficiency, or fear. Our awareness remains radiant and pure as gold. In the moments of remembering and trusting this basic goodness of our being, the grip of something's wrong dissolves, and we can open to happiness, peace, and freedom. We begin with looking at what is good enough. I could have done that better. I should have gotten more done. I wish I had been more sensitive. For many years, never enough was a chronic habit of my mind, and I could run endless variations on that theme. Finally, one night before going to sleep, I sat down and asked myself, okay, what would be enough? What do I have to do to be good enough? Over the next weeks, I started tracking what happened after I'd completed a successful weekend of teaching, or after receiving feedback about contributing to others' well-being, or after being particularly kind or generous with someone. The feeling of enough would last for about 2 minutes before I'd start fixating on what else I needed to do and how I needed to prepare for the next event and how I needed to be more consistently sensitive and kind. Even the most satisfying accomplishments upon close inspection would seem tainted by ego and therefore just not spiritual enough. Whatever I was doing, it didn't leave me with an enduring sense of enough. Now, since that long ago evening when I faced the never-ending narrative of falling short, I've discovered that enough has absolutely zero to do with accomplishing, nothing to do with achieving, and it is not at all about trying to be good enough. Rather, the realization of enough is right here in the fullness of presence, in the tenderness of an open heart, in the silence that is listening to this life. These are the moments when the glow of gold shines through. Pause. Let yourself sink into this moment, into presence, into your heart. Gently say to yourself, there's nothing to do. This is enough. I am enough. And feel the fullness and peace of coming home. Moving on to gratitude. Hundreds of years ago in Japan, a Zen master named Sono was known far and wide for her wisdom. Many came to her to find healing for their bodies, their minds, their hearts. But no matter what their pain or affliction, Sono offered one simple remedy. Every day repeat this mantra. Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. As the story goes, those who took her advice to heart found happiness and healing. One day when my son Narayan was an adolescent and caught up in grumbling being dissatisfied with life in general, I told him the story of Sono, hoping that it might offer some new perspective for him. Well, it didn't seem to make much of a dent. But not long after, on the way to an appointment with the dentist, in the car we got caught in a lot of traffic. Our car was at a total standstill, and the minutes were ticking by. White-knuckling the steering wheel, I muttered, "Oh, shit." Narayan reached over and nudged me. "Mama," he said with a superior gotcha smile. "Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever." And ever since, when my inner complainer arises, I still sometimes hear my son's playful voice channeling Sono's wisdom. "Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever." The Second Arrow. One day, it is said, the Buddha was talking to a group of his followers about our habit of being down on ourselves when something goes wrong, and how that only imprisons us in suffering. Noticing that one of the young men stood and looked puzzled, the Buddha invited him forward and asked, "If a person is struck by an arrow, is it painful?" Well, probably thinking that was a pretty obvious question, the student quickly responded, "Well, yes, it is." Nodding in agreement, the Buddha went on. "Now, if that same person is then struck by a second arrow, would that be even more painful?" The student replied, "Yes, it would be." The Buddha then explained, "In life, difficulty naturally arises. Things don't always go as we wish, or sometimes we may have an accident or get sick. We can't always control that first painful arrow. However," he went on, "we can add to our pain by the way we react to what's happening." He added that we might feel victimized, angry, about life being unfair, or we might blame ourselves for our poor self-care. That is the second arrow. Our reaction is that second arrow, and it intensifies our suffering," said the Buddha. "We become identified with a suffering self." The young man nodded, now understanding how painful the added emotional reactivity can be. It's helpful to remember that the first arrow in this story is not only about that unpleasant feeling that we experience when something goes wrong in our lives. The first arrow can also be the emotional pain we feel when we're afraid, when we feel angry, when we feel grief or hatred. It can be the pain of depression or lust. And when we then respond by blaming ourselves for these already painful feelings, we are shooting the second arrow. As we awaken compassion for ourselves and release shame and self-judgment, we free ourselves from the suffering and heal our hearts. So the next time fear or anger arises in you, try holding it with compassion rather than shooting the second arrow of painful self-judgment and blame. And finally, resisting the demons. We are often at war with our painful emotions and bad habits, the unwanted shadow parts of ourselves. We try denying them, pushing them away. We try to hide them, fix them, or condemn them. Typically, it's a losing fight. Milarepa, a 12th century Tibetan master, found himself in such a battle. After many years of living in solitude, doing his practices in a mountain retreat, he returned one evening to find his cave filled with demons. Although he did understand that they were just projections of his own mind, that didn't make them any less threatening or horrible. But how was he to get rid of them? First, he thought teaching them spiritual truths might help. The demons just ignored him. Angry and frustrated, he ran against them, trying to push them out of the cave. Far stronger than he, they just laughed at him. At last, Milarepa gave up, sat down on the floor, and said, "I'm not leaving, and it looks like you're not either, so let us just live together." That's how we might finally respond to the especially stubborn demons that we live with. "Well, that's just the way I am. I guess I have to live with it. That's just the way life is." But to Milarepa's surprise, when he stopped resisting, instead of taking over, all the demons got up and left the cave, except for one. And this one was particularly powerful. Milarepa realized that the only thing he could do was have the courage to deepen his surrender. He walked over to that great demon and placed his head inside its gigantic mouth. "Just eat me up if you want to," Milarepa said. And at that moment, the demon vanished. Well, I have found that it is only when I stop resisting entirely, that is, stop judging, stop trying to control, stop tensing against, stop avoiding, only then do I arrive in an open, tender, and healing presence. In that open tenderness, there's nowhere for the painful shadow energies to take root. With true surrender of all strategies of self-protection, the demons lose their power. When the resistance is gone, so are the demons. What is your worst demon? Is it fear? Shame? Hatred? Loneliness? What would it mean to surrender resistance and directly feel your feelings when this demon next arises? Something to reflect upon. Stopping right here for today, we thank you for listening. With fond, loving hopes that these words find a way into your heart and mind to bring more light for you. Bye for now. Ralanka signing off.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.